6. They took my phone, Martin thought. It never occurred to me that if I got into trouble, they would take my phone. Martin sat alone in an interrogation room that looked like it could have been made by the set designer from a bad TV show. The only thing that saved it from being a total cliché was that if this were a set, the chairs would look cooler. They'd be stainless steel or something. Instead, he sat on a beat-up wooden chair that was probably older than he was. He was still wearing his weekend uniform. Baggy cargo pants, faded polo shirt, and sneakers. Although they had confiscated his belt and his shoelaces. Again, cliché. The two men had introduced themselves as Special Agents Miller and Murphy, then informed Martin he was under arrest, cuffed him, and stuck him in their unmarked car, which Martin didn't mention was parked illegally. The ride to the station was horrible. Martin figured being under arrest and riding to the police station would always be horrible, but in his case it was worse than for the typical perp. He knew he could easily escape. All he had to do was get his phone out of his pocket, open the app, hit the button, and he'd be at home. He'd be handcuffed, but still, one problem at a time. He considered fleeing for a moment, but decided against it. Martin knew what he had done, and he knew it would be very difficult to prove or even explain without sounding crazy. If, however, he disappeared from the backseat of a police car, that would be easy to explain.
We arrested him. We put him in the car. He escaped.
Martin figured that the method of escape would be seen as a minor detail, unless they somehow figured it out, in which case Martin suspected he'd spend several months answering questions and the rest of his life regretting the answers he'd given. So Martin decided to bide his time, and was pretty happy with that decision right up until they booked him. The first step of the booking procedure was to remove his handcuffs, which he'd liked. The second step was for him to empty his pockets, and that was when Martin knew he was doomed. As reluctant as a man walking to the gallows, he handed over his wallet, his keys, and his phone. The rest of the booking procedure was a blur. Then they'd put him in a holding cell and let him sit there for about an hour. Now he was in the interrogation room. Special Agents Miller and Murphy came in and sat across the table from Martin. Miller was tall and muscular, with a receding hairline. Murphy was average height and doughy, with unruly brown hair. They both looked happy. Miller silently read papers in a manila folder, with Martin's name written theatrically on the tab. Eventually, Miller closed the folder and put it on the table.
"Mr. Martin Banks," he said, "we're going to ask you a few questions. The more quickly and more honestly you answer, the sooner we can all go home."
Martin considered this. "So I may be going home tonight?"
"Oh, definitely, Martin. You're going to go home tonight. But bear in mind, jail might be your new home."
"Ah," Martin said. Miller continued.
"See, my partner Murph and I aren't from Seattle. Heck, until today, Murph had never been to Seattle. Isn't that right, Murph?"
"That's right."
"See, we had to fly out from L.A. on no notice because of you. That's where we live, L.A. Hey, Murph, why do you live in L.A?"
"Because I hate rain."
"He hates rain, Martin. So you can imagine how happy he was to have to come to Seattle in October. You happy, Murph?"
"Nah, I ain't happy."
"He's not happy, Martin. You got anything to say about that?"
Martin stammered. If he were any more off balance, he'd be lying on his side.
"I'm sorry?"
"Murph doesn't want your apology, Martin. He wants answers. If you answer Murph's questions well enough, we can go home tomorrow and maybe get some sightseeing in before the flight. Would you like that, Murph?"
"Yeah, I'd like that."
"Murph wants to go sightseeing, Martin. Maybe see the Space Needle. Or that market you got where they throw great big fish around for no reason. Murph's seen it on the Food Network about 1,000 times.
"Oh,"
Martin said, mostly out of reflex.
"If you do go to the fish market, right next to it there's a little shop that sells the best tiny donuts. You don't want to miss out on that."
There was a silence so thick you could lean on it.
"Why?"
Special Agent Miller asked, almost too quietly to hear.
"Because we're cops."
"No," Martin said, an edge of desperation in his voice. "They're just great donuts. A little machine makes them fresh, and they give them to you in a brown paper bag."
"Shut up about the donuts. Murph doesn't want your donuts. Murph wants you to answer his questions."
"Then when's he going to ask a question?"
"Shut up, Martin. I'm asking the questions here.
That's kind of my point.
Shut up, shut up, shut up!
Miller sat down and panted for a while. Murphy just stared at Martin. Finally, Special Agent Miller continued.
Look, kid, we're Treasury agents. Until recently, we used to investigate bank fraud, and we were good at it.
Too good, Murph said.
That's right, Murph, too good. We were so good we got promoted to a special task force. A small task force. Elite, they call it.
How many agents are on our task force again, Murph?
Two.
Two agents. Me and my partner, Murph. I'd say that's pretty freaking elite. We investigate the bank fraud cases where nobody can figure out what the fraud was. Even the bank that got defrauded. That means that before we can start solving a crime, we gotta figure out if there was a crime at all. That's why we're here, Martin. To try to figure out if you've committed a crime.
They sat in silence for a moment.
Have you committed a crime, Martin?
Another silent moment passed.
No.
Good! Glad to hear it, Miller said. Perhaps you can tell us how you managed to put five separate sums of money, totaling more than $23,000, in your bank account without making a deposit or a transfer.
Martin had never stopped to add up all of the cash he'd created.
Wow, that's a lot of money.
Not really,
Special Agent Miller said.
Normally it takes more than $100,000 to get our attention. It was the number of times money just showed up that made the bank suspicious.
This news did not make Martin happier.
I'm screwed, he thought. The jig is up, all the way up. Even if I get out of this, they'll be watching me for the rest of my life. My best case scenario is that I get to go back to my life the way it was. Only now I'm unemployed and gave all my furniture to Goodwill. At least I can buy it back for cheap. It won't come to that, though. They'll pin something on me. I'm going to prison. Oh, I can't see how I can get out of this.
So you gonna tell us, Martin?
Martin had been so absorbed in his misery, he'd nearly forgotten the men in the room with him.
Pardon?
He asked, startled. Special Agent Miller smiled.
My partner Murph and I were wondering if you'd tell us how you got all that money into your account without depositing, transferring, or even earning it, as near as we can tell.
Martin perked up instantly.
No! I'll do better than tell you. I'll show you. All I need is for you to bring me my smartphone.
Agent Murphy stood up and with a bright smile said,
Will do. I'll be right back.